squirting water at me, I'm gonna fuck your girlfriend, pal. This is the time of the evening when the band gets to have a drink right here.
Don't squirt me with that. I'm gonna fuck your girlfriend.
I love Dave.
Yeah,
the best, he's, man.
He's pretty awesome.
I mean, I love Paul Stanley like a dad, but Dave Lee Roth is like
old DRL number one fucking
entertainer on stage.
Yeah, he's, man, that's such a vital part of a band. Is mm-hmm. like you can have someone that's a great vocalist, but it's like, are they a front man?
Right.
Or front woman.
You and that was always Dave's thing. I mean, we'll get into it. We'll do some housekeeping, but man, yeah. Like he gets shit for his voice live, like singing. But yeah. Man, when you're in the crowd, you don't give a fuck what he sounds like. You're just there to party.
No. Well, dude, it's so loud. That's the thing, man. Like that's the beauty of live performances. I never performed live and I really still want to, but
you'd be great at it.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think you would.
Oh, well, look who's here.
You are. Hello, mother.
Hi, Mom.
I told her that we would be going live at 6, so that's cool.
I'm sorry for swearing.
Oh, it's okay. She listened to me do it all last weekend. fuck. I used to think that my parents swore, and then I became an adult, and then I was like, oh, I swear more than.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 100% worse than my parents.
Yeah.
Both of them combined. And
yes.
My dad's pretty bad. My mom's getting better. I think turning into a grandma, she saw her ways of not being such a delinquent.
So, hello, mother. Thanks for joining us. We're going to talk about Van Halen. Speaking of, I'm going to share her Van Halen story on this.
Oh, she has a Van Halen story.
Yeah, because she saw him live. I don't know what year. I think it was Hagar. It wasn't. But yeah. Well, see, I always thought Sammy Hagar joined at 1984, but it was 5150. David Lee Roth's last album was 1984. And so, like, dude, a lot of those, like, I don't know much Van Hagar. I mean, I know, like, the big hits or whatever. Yeah. And that's another thing.
You know, like, and a lot of the Van Hagar stuff, like, the good songs that I like personally are the ballads, which is.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay, dude.
Hey.
Did you hear that truck?
Why don't you chill the fuck out, man?
Yeah. Why don't you slow it down?
Hey, don't drive by my house, pal. I'm going to fuck your girlfriend.
what was I going to say about Van Halen? Oh, yeah. So there's a lot that I don't know of Van Halen, but there's also a lot of Van Halen songs I know, but I didn't realize was Van Halen. So
Van
Halen
or Van Hagar? Are you still talking about Van Hagar?
Well, both. Because I guess I should say no. I know Van Halen. Any of those songs, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Van Halen.
Yeah.
Van Hagar.
And I made a note of that because we're going to change the format a little bit today. It's going to be more of a discussion back and forth.
Yes.
But I had already done notes, and I made that note. Like, as soon as you hear a Van Halen song on the radio, boom, you know
it's Van Halen.
Especially the original Van Halen.
Yes. And you got Hagar. Hagar's a little different. But, yeah, I guess that, to your point, yes, that's correct. Van Hagar stuff, I don't really... I'll be like, I don't know who this is. And they're like, oh, that's Van Halen. Oh, okay. Van Hagar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of those songs that like I know, but I didn't know it was them.
Right. Because
I didn't like that's not my like Van Halen 1 and 2 and that whole early era. I know that stuff, but
Women, Children First, Fair Warning,
yes.
Diver Down, all that shit.
Yep.
That's the good stuff, man. Yeah, share your mom's let's do some house cleaning. We'll get back to Van Halen.
Yeah, so I guess I got the Wikipedia page brought up here, so I'll talk this. Obviously, and like Tommy said, we're doing a little different format mm-hmm. here, kind of like if you've been with us a long time, you remember the discussions. This will be more like, I don't know, it'll be more like we're not going to go song by song and compare and do all that, because I feel like it just turns into us reading, and you said it too. It's us reading our notes for an hour and then see ya. That's what it is.
We're not even looking at each other.
Yeah,
Okay, blah, 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 blah. Are you with the notebook?
Not to say that, turn my pages. Not to say those episodes aren't good, because they're all good, but just like...
Yeah, go back in the archives.
Yeah, go back in the motherfucking archives. So anyways, Tommy said, let's do Van Halen 1. So we're going to do Van Halen 1, first album. The first of the Halen Van series. Came out February 10th, 1978. It was alleged...
Before we get into it, hang on. What were you going to say about the theme song and all that stuff?
Oh,
you're making a new theme song.
Oh yeah, I'm working on some theme songs. I got the one. What I can give a preview of the one that I think is going to be maybe the intro song is in 7/8 time, and I play it with my 7 string. So it's a little gentle.
That's a good idea. Give us a little preview of it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I can.
Oh,
I don't know how to do that. I wanted to be able to be hooked up so I could do that.
Gotcha.
But I don't know if I can do that. But anyways, it's in A standard tuning on a 7-string guitar. It's in 7/8 times. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But I count it 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Because that's easier for me.
Right.
Anyways, I got to finish the drums. I added the bass. There's two guitars. I got to do all the tracks and, you know, try to mix it to the best of my ability, EQ it and all that. And then I'll send it to Tommy for the final inspection. And there's another one too. But anyways, I made both of these there's a plugin company I like to use called Neural DSP mm-hmm. for amp simulators. And if you're a guitarist and even bass, because they do that too. They get the parallax and all that. They are my favorite plugin company. Now, their plugins cost, you pay $100 for one of them, but usually you can catch them on sale. I have the Archetype Gojira one that I downloaded. All of them, you can get a 14-day free trial. They just came out with the Tom Morello one, so I want to try that too. But I got the Archetype Gojira one, and I have two of them already that I own, the 410 Cali and the 410 NTS suite, which are both great amps. But this Gojira one, that's what the trial's for. It's going to make me buy it because it's really good. And if that trial expires, my songs will no longer have that amp attached to them. So probably going to have to spend the money on it. I was kind of waiting on a sale. But anyways, so Neural DSP, if you're a guitarist and you want to do – I wish we could – I'll plug them because
if you want to sponsor the show,
sims, man, the amp sims are awesome. Yeah, if you want to sponsor the show, do a discount code or whatever. But I love them, and I'd like to be able to demo some of them on here. I'm not like a god at guitar or anything, but I can chug, you know.
Yeah,
sounds chug-a-lug. Cool. But man, they have so many. They have John Petrucci for the Archetypes, which are the more expensive ones, come with more amps. Nolly, who's the producer of Periphery and was once their bassist, have a Periphery pick right here. A modern progressive band, and they just came out with Tom Morello. You got the Archetype Gojira. You got Tim Henson, if you know of Polyphia. He's like a modern guitar god dude. Rebea from YouTube. There's a few others too, but yeah. And then
not
you can
to
just
be
get
confused with
amps.
Tim Henson of Merciful Fate and King Diamond fame.
Exactly, because you would confuse the
you
two.
Would
you would because of the name.
Right.
Anyways, Neural DSP. So my trial is going to end soon, and I need to. And I've just converted to a new MacBook, actually. So I'm on. This is the first video I'm doing on my new MacBook, 2020 M1.
I forgot you got it.
Yeah, my video looks a little different, maybe. But
it's a little clearer, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a 1080 webcam. I'm not sure, but it's funny how Apple, you know. Gotta love them, but that webcam just kind of stays the same. It doesn't really get much better.
And unless you want to pay $40 for the ultimate StreamYard package, it's going to stream in 720 anyways. So.
Well, true. Yeah, so I guess never
really
mind.
Really didn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Neural DSP. Maybe I'll reach out to him and see if we can get a coupon code. Be like, hey, I use your products. Can we get a coupon code?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
because they're awesome. But yeah,
we're growing. If you want to grow with us, sponsor the show.
Yes. What is that? What's that old wrestling clip where he's like, "You're gonna, I'm gonna feel you grow." It's Jake the Snake.
Yeah, that was part of the housekeeping I wanted to talk about. Since our last show, we're up 24 new subscribers. We've gotten a few days ago. I mean, and it changes every day. I mean, it changes every second. But the other day, we had like 10,000 views in 28 days. And our watch time, which is way up, is right now it's sitting at 85.4 hours in a month, which is awesome for us because,
yeah,
I mean, it took us 4 years to get to 100 subscribers. And in the last 9 months, we've got 113 new subscribers. Or the last 9 months. Yeah. 113 new subscribers. So that's awesome. The show is growing. People are enjoying it. Finally, people are seeing it. YouTube's finally kind of pushing it a little bit. I've noticed the last few days, especially since I've been doing these kiss videos. So if you like the show, sign up patreon.com/heelsandquads.
By the way, I asked my mom if she was still watching, and she said yes, and David Lee Roth was better. So yeah, there you go.
She knows what's up.
She knows the drill. But I mean, yeah,
I don't hate Sammy.
No,
I don't
of course
even hate
not.
Van
no.
Hagar. I just no. I my Van Halen is dead.
Is David Lee Roth. Yeah, yeah. Of course.
And I got to see him when they came back. And I mean, I know it wasn't Michael Anthony, who I love. But I mean, Wolfie could hold his own, you know.
So. He's heavily noted. Yeah. So yeah. What else was I gonna say? Yeah, the more subscriber thing is pretty cool. And those Kiss videos are awesome. I ended up sitting there. I was just gonna watch one. Ended up watching all four of them yesterday. But I like them a lot. I think they're.
I appreciate
it. Easy to digest content. Yeah. 5 minute videos.
5 minute videos. Yeah. I do a quick little intro, and then go into a voiceover, and then an outro, and get out of there because I know I've seen it, you know, because our shorts are pretty good. I mean, our shorts are popular,
yeah.
So I know it's hard to digest an hour of shit. And usually, if I'm watching an hour long, whatever, I'm just like laying on the couch, like or in the recliner or whatever. I'm just
vegetabled out,
vegged out. So I know it's hard to digest sometimes, and especially when we go live, I don't expect a lot of people to actually see it live. Because we go on at weird times, you know, it's dinner time or right after dinner. So
California's not even off work yet.
They right. Yeah. Hour, yeah. If you're on Sal time, I mean, you're what's up, Muda? You damned maniacs.
You damned maniacs. What up?
What up?
My Hetfield picks too. I bought Hetfield picks.
Oh, nice.
I went to a guitar and they sold 9-volt batteries by the single, which was cool. But it was this guitar store in Bentonville. And I was like, I'm going to get some picks. And oh, there's a battery. And it ended up being like $25. And I was like, so I paid $5 more per set of
picks. Nine volt and a dime bag.
A 9-volt and a dime bag. Fuck yeah, man.
Fuck yeah, brother.
Don't buy girl. But yeah, anyways, I guess let's fucking get into it.
Yeah, man. I wanted to hear your mom's Van Halen story.
Oh, yeah. So she was actually just telling me, because I told her we were going to do this episode, but she saw Van Halen with a friend. I don't know where it would have been. She could tell me. Probably Little Rock or Kansas City. But
as you almost knocked your mic over.
Yeah. She was like up front, and Eddie was right there on stage, and she was like, like yelled or something. And he like looked at her and was like, and then just kept jamming. So that's the whole story, but it's cool. Like, and then, you know,
they had that moment.
They had a moment. They had an eye contact moment.
That's pretty sweet.
Eddie would forever remember that, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, if he was still with us, he'd be here. She says Little Rock.
Oh, she say Little Rock. Okay. Yeah. At the Alt, I guess that'd be the Altel Arena back then. Hell, it was probably something else before Altel.
It was Barton Coliseum.
Okay. Yeah. That's probably what it was. But yeah, they had a moment. So
and she didn't remember what year it was?
No, but she was I'd imagine out. I'd imagine early 90s probably, cuz I know I was in the womb during Ozzy.
So probably for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, the Fuck album.
Probably the that red one. Right. Is that the red one with the VH on it? That's probably the one. I feel like I remember seeing that album when I was younger, but
it's like a maroonish.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a football kind of.
Yes. It has that texture
that pigskin
to it.
Look. Yeah.
I'll have to listen to it.
It's all right.
Yeah. So that's the story. I know it's not super eventful, but there was eye contact cool. made.
Yeah, okay. man. I'll tell mine real quick. 07, when Van Halen announced they were reuniting with Dave. And like I said before, obviously Michael Anthony wasn't there, but me and my friend Cameron went, and we always said that if Van Halen got back with Dave, we would have to go.
Yeah.
So they announced it. I remember it was like back when like VH1 Classic was really popular, and they announced it on there, and I was like freaking out, and my mom was like, buy you and Cameron tickets. I know you guys have had this conversation before, and you guys go for your birthday. I was like, fuck yeah. It got canceled twice.
No way.
Yeah, Eddie went into rehab twice during that tour. So
okay.
the St. Louis show kept getting pushed back, but it was awesome because we get there. It was day one of the NFL draft that year.
Where'd you end up seeing it? St. Louis?
St. Louis, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was day one of the NFL draft, so we watched part of that in the hotel before we went. Get to the show, and who opened? I want to say it was like one of the Marley kids or something that opened. I don't remember. But anyways, you hear him like getting set up behind the curtain or whatever. And you can hear Eddie playing a little bit, you know, just getting warmed up. Curtain drops. And Dave's up on this, like, it's like a ramp that went all the way around the stage. And he's up on top waving this flag. You know how he does like the karate shit and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he just like, it stops. The music stops. And Dave goes, better late than fucking never. And I went fucking nuts, dude. It was literally one of the funnest times I've ever had at a concert. And like yeah. at the end, like when they're doing Jump at the last song, Dave had this big inflatable microphone. And he was like riding it like a fucking dragon or something. It was so cool.
His energy is just wild. He's got... Instead of big dick energy, it's David Lee Roth energy. So is this another
quieter
thing? Yeah, that's what I thought. Another catfish name.
Catfish.
He's catfishing us all the time. Right. All right.
Let's get it.
So Van Halen 1 came out February 10th, 1978. Allegedly recorded August 30th to September 1977.
Do you know who produced their demos for this album?
I don't know. I know Ted Templeman produced this album, but I don't know who did the demos.
Gene Simmons.
Did he really? I did not know that.
He claimed to have discovered them. However, I mean, they were playing all over LA at the time, of course. But Gene Simmons saw him in a club and I guess took Eddie and the band out to, I guess, a late dinner or whatever. And he was like, I'm going to help you guys out. So he did produce the demos, but he claims he helped get their deal at Warner Brothers, which is a very Gene Simmons thing to do.
Okay. Yeah.
So nobody knows for sure how true that is, but
yeah,
it is true that he did produce the demos, which I mean, I was really big into bootleg stuff like in the mid 2000s, and their demos basically sound like the album.
Oh yeah, I bet. And this is back in the, you know, in the 70s where all of these, this whole album is a live recording.
Yeah. Because
it wasn't, there was no computer to do one
piece. It's all analog. Yeah.
Yeah. You can layer tape, but I know like it costs more.
Yeah. You got to cut sessions. And then you got to piece it together. I don't know how they did that shit back then, dude.
There's a little bit of that in everything, but in Ministry, Al Jorgensen's biography, he ran Wax Trax Studios throughout the 90s or 80s or whatever. And he said his hands used to be just sliced up from cutting tape all the time.
Yeah.
And putting it back together. So, yeah, that's great. Now, luckily, we're in the digital age where we press the space bar and R and control Z to delete it. You know,
yeah.
Like it's easy. So, and then I saw something about there was like 29 songs on the demos originally.
I think that, well, they technically they did two different sets.
Okay, maybe that's the total then. Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. All right.
I was going to mention something else now and I brain fart.
In case you didn't know, the genre is hard rock and heavy metal.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, Rick Beato, who I love on YouTube.
Dude, I can't get enough of Rick Beato.
He's fucking amazing, dude. But he did a video today about best rock debut albums.
Yeah, was this on there?
Well, it was just 1978. So, of course, this was the first one he talks about.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn it. What? Every time we talk about doing a show, it seems like somebody on YouTube. Which, yeah. I mean, with him, I'm fine with it. Like,
dude, I'm all about
it. If we get any kind of rub off his video talking about it, then I'm all about it. Because that dude is all over the place.
He's... As far as a musical genius goes, he's like, there's a lot of them on YouTube. Yeah. But he's one where he's just like, so they're playing the Sead 9 sus right here.
Right.
Like, how did you know that?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you can hear the sus.
Dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like his videos, like I have the alert on anytime something else comes out.
I love it. I didn't know you watched Beato.
I love him, dude.
Yeah.
It's shown me over the last, I've probably subscribed to him for like the last year, maybe. But it's shown me over time, like, how I've evolved musically, like, in my mind.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll listen to a song, like, I get addicted to songs. Like, I have to hear it over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And then, like, he'll do a video on that song. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, am I a musical genius? But, like, this past Saturday, he did a Billy Joel song. And he was like, I've never talked about Billy Joel. And I was like, I just went through, like, a six-month Billy Joel, like, fucking cram session.
So whatever you listen to, he's about to do.
Yeah. He did the Eurythmics the Saturday before.
I saw the new song or whatever.
Yeah. I was like,
wasn't that it? It's a new song?
No. This one, the one he did was an older one. I don't know. Okay. He might have did a second
perfect
video
or whatever.
Yeah, it was the perfect song video series.
And then the new, was it a while back, he did a Depeche Mode, a new Depeche Mode song. That
maybe
was
that's what it was. Yeah.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But he's awesome. Man. I've learned so much from him about music.
And the weird thing, he's like our parents' age, you know? And he's like...
Yeah, but he rocks the white hair. I think he's Italian. That last name is pretty Italian.
It is in a vowel, dude.
And he's from New York, so no doubt he's...
He lives in Atlanta, I think.
Yeah, I think he's Atlanta. His studio is fucking awesome. Yeah. He's got all those... He's got... So, man, I love that guy.
That
I
interview he did with Nuno from Extreme, they talked
a little bit
Van Halen.
Yep.
Nuno's a badass, dude.
Nuno's talking about the rap pedal or the dirt. Yeah, the rap pedal.
Yeah, and that new Extreme song Rise, that solo is fucking insane. Dude.
They talked a lot about that solo. I need to listen to it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So, anyways, let's talk Van Halen. Mm-hmm. We can blow Rick Beato in another episode.
All day, every day. Rick Beato, if you're watching,
we absolutely
I'd love to have you on.
Yeah. I made a little passage to start here.
Okay.
To preface, this is an album that inspired you even if you don't know it. Millions, and you might say billions of musicians, guitar players mostly, are heavily inspired by Eddie Van Halen. Then I wrote about his gear, but I'll get to that later. So many years it's taken people through trial and error seeking that Eddie Van Halen sound, only to realize you can have all of his gear and not sound like him. And, you know, he said it before too, like it's the player, man. It's all about the player. It's not like the gear obviously makes a difference, but you have to be, everybody sounds different. Nobody can be Eddie. It's all in the player. Eddie taught us and revolutionized so many techniques and sounds. If you weren't directly inspired by Eddie Van Halen, your favorite guitar player was.
Yep.
So you were in one way or another inspired by Eddie Van Halen.
And I made a note of something similar to that I'll add. Let me find it real quick.
Like even one of my favorite, like just a band you'd never think, but Dino, I always mess up his last name. It's Cazares or Cazares from Fear Factory, the heavy ass industrial metal band, which I'd like to do on here sometime. They're industrial, but they're their own thing. Anyways, he's like Eddie Van Halen, man. Like he's one of the reasons I play guitar. And it's like, you'd never guess, but I mean, he inspired everybody.
Adding to what you said about Eddie, I said about just this first album, of course, Eddie is doing his thing, becoming a god on his first record. And then I went on to say, and his brother, Alex, is giving a masterclass in drumming. Mm-hmm. How could so much talent come from one family? And that adds Wolfie, of course, because I mean, he played bass with Van Halen.
Playing bass when you saw them?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And he was a kid, man. He was like,
I was gonna say,
15 or 16.
He's like 2 years older than me.
Yeah. And that was in 08. It was April of 08 when I saw him. So he was a kid.
Yeah.
And I went on to say I wanted to save this for closer to the end, but this whole album is incredible and it closed out the greatest debut album of all time. And I said, not just rock, I would put any album up against it. Whitney Houston, yeah. I mean, anybody. And Whitney's first record was great. Mariah Carey's first album. I mean, any pop or rock, like, debut album. I think this just takes it.
It's, I don't know of really many off the top of my head that would be as, like I said, revolutionary as this one. Like, this was, I mean,
they changed the game.
They changed the game, and, like, guitar, and it's obviously everybody talks about Van Halen, but Michael Anthony, like the bass, Alex on drums, and then you got one of the greatest frontmen ever, and David Lee Roth, and then of course Eddie, which we can talk about all day,
right?
But I noticed what's his Nuno kept calling him Edward.
Yeah, well, I mean, he I think most people called him.
Do they call him Edward?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I think he actually preferred Edward.
Really?
Yeah,
Edward Van Halen, and he's Dutch. I always forget that.
Yeah,
from the Netherlands.
And I made another note on, I believe it was the Eruption. I made the note, and I said, "This shit right here is like rock Beethoven." Yeah, that's how I always saw Eddie. Is like, he's a classical musician. He just plays an electric guitar. You know?
Yeah, wasn't it? What did he say? Why he got off piano and started playing guitar? There was a reason that
because guitar gets you laid,
something like that. Oh, it was.
That sounds more like a Dave line to me.
That sounds like a Dave line.
Yeah,
probably Eddie too. But when he was in Amsterdam, there wasn't a lot of rock scene, and then he came to the States, and that's when he was like, "I got to play guitar, man." Yeah. But I don't remember if Eddie is like classically trained, like music theory.
I would say probably to some extent.
Everybody is to some degree.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, if he was like a, because piano is very music theory driven. Like, you kind of have to know.
Well, and I mean, you can translate piano very easily to guitar.
To guitar, very much so.
Because, I mean, the chords are the same. It's just, you know, obviously you're sitting down at the piano is different than, you know, playing a guitar, but. Yeah. The chords are still the same. It's still, I mean, all music, the chords are the same. It's just how you you can innovate different things and how you position your fingers and stuff.
Yeah.
There's probably three or four ways you could probably play a G chord.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. There's more. Yeah, of course. There's more.
And then you throw in bar chords. And yeah.
Yeah, man. There's so many. Like, what is it? There's 12 notes in music. A sharp, B, C, C sharp, D, D sharp, E, F, F sharp, G, G sharp. Yeah, that's 12 notes of music. I was trying to make sure I had that right, but
then you add in all the sus chords like you were talking about before.
And sus and minor, major, diminished, like there's so many that add, and then the add nines and add sevens. Like, I don't know to that.
Shit's wild, dude.
Yeah, and it's people like Beato who can be like, oh yeah, the reason why I just love, that's what I love about like music, and that's why I'm trying to study it a little more, is like, what makes this work?
Yeah,
that's what like, what makes you feel this way, what makes you feel that way? And like, this whole album is full of it. Most of it just makes you feel like you got a boner or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you have
I made that
whole album.
I made that,
you know, it's very sex related.
Let me read you what I wrote here.
Hard nips or whatever.
I know what I know which song it was. It was on Feel Your Love Tonight.
Yeah.
Ah, the perfect Tommy song. Innuendo raging. Rock and roll is indeed just another term for fucking. And Van Halen is the ultimate party band. And they prove it again for the, I don't know, eighth time on this eighth track.
Yeah.
There was another one, though. And I can't remember where it was. Let me find it. Oh, it was on Jamie's Crying. I wrote, you hear that on the radio even today, you aren't changing the station, you say, ah, Van Halen. You turn to the one you love and say, let's fuck.
yeah I mean, that's
this, that fucking drum fill at the beginning of that great, and you know it,
and I just love that bass line, like the bass is very blue, and that's another reason why I wanted to change format too, because I don't know how many times I'm gonna say bluesy, because this is back in the day where everything was bluesy, because everything's coming
it's a
off
mix,
of the blues,
dude. And I wrote several times swing and jazz, because Alex,
there's a lot
the
of
way
that,
he
man.
Plays, it's so swingy, you know. Mm-hmm. Even on Hot for Teacher later on, I mean, it's such a swing drum beat.
Yeah, and like I made a note in here. My first note was, one of them was Michael and Alex just staying in the pocket and keeping that time. Like, yeah. Michael and Alex are so fucking, the whole band is tight, but they're right. so fucking tight.
Yep.
And the recording, and again, this is all recorded. This is a live recording, you know?
Yeah.
It's where, like, if you soloed the guitar or the bass drum, you would hear David Lee Roth in the background, or you'd hear Eddie in the background, or
right.
like, you know, from picking up that sound. But I love listening to soloed tracks from way back in the
day. Well, to add on to that, I mean, Eddie, you know, you throw him into the rhythm section because he's doing everything on guitar.
Yes,
you know?
he's
playing rhythm. He's playing rhythm. He's playing lead, and he's mm-hmm. but he's tapping. You know, he's keeping that beat yeah. even with the rhythm section the whole time. It's just. I mean, yeah. that shit doesn't work like that in music.
No.
And no, I anybody who can think of a better debut album than that, like, bring it to me because I want to hear it.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there's some, but like from the album start to the album end, like, there's not a bad song on this album.
No.
There's not and one of them that I'm like.
Every single song on there, I mean, even before Satellite Radio, there's not one song on there that at some point in my life I didn't hear on the radio.
Yeah, the whole record is like, you could.
And
you
I mean,
know,
they weren't
obviously
they weren't like Billboard chart-topping hits or anything, but I mean, no. fuck. I mean, show me a weak point in this album. There's I mean, really even like Little Dreamer, I went on to say on my notes on that, you know, that was a song that I was looking forward to when I saw him.
Yeah.
It's a little slower, but just. I love.
I knew Little Dreamer would be your song, yeah, too.
I fucking love that song.
Because it's kind of ballady.
Yeah. And then the end of
Little like Dreamer.
Those vocal inflections are just fucking. It's cool.
So I was going to ask you, because you're a little more educated in the VH department, but so who is Michael Anthony harmonizing with David Lee Roth?
Well, okay, and Eddie does too, but
okay.
it's
okay.
Michael, and I made a note about that too. Michael Anthony could have been a fucking lead singer.
Yeah, he's
because like, a lot of those high screams and the wails,
yeah.
they're not all Dave. Some of them are right. Michael. But okay. he's able to match that pitch. And I said, you know, he could have easily been the lead singer of Van Halen.
Yeah, I mean, that's I
think a lot of it was the way Michael looks, though. I mean,
yeah.
And not to say anything bad about Michael Anthony, but, you know, Dave's a little more frontman-esque.
Especially back then. He's yeah. got that. Yeah, he kind of had
well, and I don't know if you knew this, but there's a rumor that Dave stole his look from Jim Dandy from Black Oak, Arkansas. The long blonde hair and the
really
the chest hair hanging out and all that stuff. So
interesting. Yeah,
there's a video of Jim Dandy talking about it. I guess Dave came to a show at the Whiskey, I think, and asked if he could film some of the show or whatever. And he's like basically stole his moves and his look.
Well, maybe whatever. We owe it all to Jim Dandy.
Jim Dandy to the fucking rescue again.
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, either way you look at it, dude.
That's another dude I'd love to sit down and talk to. Jim Dandy, he's a fucking wild man.
Just to hear, just be like, here, I'm going to just put a microphone in front of you and you just tell me stories, okay? Just here's an hour of your time. Just tell me stories.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like we kind of went into this with like highlights of the album, low points mm-hmm. of the album. Under low points, I don't have any. There's no,
I don't have one song on here that I skip.
No,
I actually Saturday night.
I skip You Really Got Me because I've heard it too many times.
It's my favorite cover song ever.
It's a great, I mean, it's a great song. I did listen to it two or three times, but on my like fourth or fifth listen of the record, I was like, I'll just skip it. I played it on Guitar Hero back in the day so many times, and I've heard it a lot.
A lot of songs, my favorite parts are the breakdowns.
Oh, yeah.
And man, You Really Got Me is one of them.
Yep.
And Dave's doing the little.
I just love the lead in to just the kind of silent. Like Eddie, the sound, like his little fucking nuances on guitar, mm-hmm. man. Like Atomic Punk. I love that song. And he's just rubbing the strings by the pickups. And like
I made a note of that on my notes. Like you didn't hear that before that song.
No.
Nobody was doing that shit.
Innovative, man. He was. That's one of the biggest things about him. And like back then, I wanted to talk about his gear a little bit because before the 5150, which I desperately want one, he on this record he used a Marshall 1967 to 68 Marshall 1959 Super Lead, but he had a bunch of mods on it. And he used the MXR Phaser, Flanger, six-band EQ, and some
that echoes. He was probably in a lab, like, piecing all this shit together anyways.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, what was it? So Ain't Talking About Love was one of the, that was the first one I think I learned on guitar from Eddie. Well, You Really Got Me, because it's easy. But right. That's, you know, that's a cover.
Well, because, yeah, You Really Got Me, basically, at this point, is an American standard.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Ain't Talking About Love, though, I kind of forgot how you hear that little bit of the flanger kick in when he's and then when it goes to bound, you can really hear the of the flange, and just all those little things, man. The echo, everything he had set up was just new at that point. It was new, man. Like I want this again in the modern day, but the problem is we've got so many years of music that, like, there are those things that are new and innovative now, but everything's been done to a certain extent, and it'll be like that forever. It's just like movies. You
that's
know,
like,
you
but like with music, it's funny to me how, like, when you hear about a lawsuit with songs, and, like, I think the most recent one was the Ed Sheeran one or whatever.
I saw that.
And yeah. I guess he actually, like, pulled out an acoustic guitar and played it.
Yeah.
Which is wild. I'm not a fan of his, but I'm not saying he's not talented, whatever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, like, chord progressions and stuff, and you can, you can only do so much with music in general. I mean,
yeah. And like I said, there's 12 notes.
Everything's been done before already.
Yeah. Everything was done in the classical music, man. And if you ever want, you know, if you ever want inspiration, I like listening to that too. I like going back and listening to Bach and Beethoven because that music was,
dude, I listen to opera sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's, classical music is just, I don't know. It's like beyond a piece of art at this point. Yeah. Like it's something to fucking behold, man. Like you have to respect it. And if you don't listen to music because you suck. If you don't like classical music, man, everything's based off of that.
Well, that's like that conversation we had a few episodes ago where I was talking about how I would sit there and, like, you know, explain to Amanda about, like, you know, this song, you know, listen to this part. And she's like, why are you, like, so, like, anal about everything? Anal.
Because it's those.
And I'm like, you know, it's just like little nuances that you pick up and you're like, holy shit. And it just makes you feel a different way when you really listen to it. And that's the problem with, and nothing against my wife. She loves music and she listens to everything. But it's like,
Some things don't have that. They don't have
those. I just can't explain it even.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There's some things that just, like, man, I can get, there could be a part in the song where they just, the rhythm and the lead hit one note together that just, it hits this vibe that, like, hits my whole body. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that. And I got to go back and hear it. And I can listen to the whole song over and over again.
I do too. And I meant to bring it in here with me and I forgot because I was going to show
She does have the first Van Halen on vinyl.
That's yours now, Levi.
That is mine. Yeah. Yeah, she does. I need to go through that vinyl collection because she also has the Skinnerd one, like when they got rid of the flames or whatever because of the plane crash. There's some kind of controversy.
Yeah, there. Like I think the original pressing had flames, and then they repressed it afterwards
after the crash. Yeah. But I think they brought the flames back because I looked this up a while back. Somebody probably screamed about it, but I want to hear that on vinyl. The first video on vinyl.
It's amazing. I just listened to it on Saturday, and what I was saying.
You said you have it.
Yeah. And I was listening because I got the Dave Eat 'Em and Smile on Saturday in the mail. I finally got that one off eBay.
Oh, that David Lee there. Roth.
Yeah. And then so I listened to that, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm listening to Van Halen tonight.
You sent me a picture of that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I sent you a video, maybe. I know. I just think I sent you the picture. Oh, she says she has the one with the flames.
Yes. Okay. She has the one with the flames.
Okay, so she has like the original pressing.
Yep.
But yeah, like even like 84 Van Halen, you know, that cover of the baby smoking the cigarette, the baby angel smoking the cigarette. Little Tommy gets so fucking cracked up every time I listen to that because I always put the cover of what I'm listening to on the.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's a must.
Yeah. But the back cover of Van Halen with Dave doing like the back bend, I always thought was really cool.
Okay. On this one?
Yeah, on the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the front cover is just like four different scenes of each one of them, like Eddie, Dave, Alex, and Michael.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What's the song on here that they end it with like a little acapella? Yeah, which one was that? It's one of the
I did note that though.
It's not a single. It's one of the ones that's kinda we talked about they're kinda all singles, but and then Ice Cream Man. I never realized Ice Cream Man was a cover either.
Ice Cream Man's fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's a good one. See, I thought that was about banging a chick or something too. Sure. Or a dude, oh, whatever you
I'm the one. The one we were singing before we went on. Oh, no. Yeah, I said then the breakdown.
That's right.
Rock bands weren't doing that shit in 1978. Nope. That's another sure little bit of that jazz swing stuff. And a lot of, I mean, obviously Alex had a lot of that in his drumming, but I mean, that's what Dave grew up listening to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because into his solo career when he left, Jesus Christ. Oh, when he left, I mean, he does California Girl cover. He does I ain't got nobody, just a gigolo. Like, what fucking rock singer was singing just a gigolo?
Just a gigolo. Roth, yeah. That's noted on here. Like on the highlights, I have
fucking DJ Scat Cat. You know?
David Lee Roth's energy is just through the fucking roof, man. Like, you got to turn him down. Like, if you're recording him, he's clipping. You have to turn him down because he's just fucking full of energy, man.
Come on, Dave. He's give a me lot. A break.
What is the 2012 album like? That last one they did.
Did you ever listen to that? Different Kind of Truth?
Yeah. Is it okay?
A lot of it's unused demos from the 70s.
Ah, gotcha.
And they just reworked everything. The single Tattoo, I got really into. And I still listen to it a lot.
You got really into that track. Because it's probably got one of those things in it where you're just like, oh, this part, you got to hear it,
and,
man.
I mean, a lot of people just didn't really get into it. And I was I fucking love this song. Yes. And it was like, because that came out right after me and Amanda got together. So I bought the track, like when they released the single on iTunes. Mm. So I'd always listen to it in the car and stuff. And she's like, oh my God, this song again. I'm like, it's fucking awesome. It's classic Van Halen. It's just, you know, in the 2010s.
Yeah.
But yeah, the video for that's like black and white. It's pretty cool. It's like they're like, I guess it's like a stage production kind of thing. But yeah, no, it's good. I mean, it's for what it is, you know, it's Van Halen from the 70s in the 2012 or 10s.
Do you know, I'm assuming every one of these songs has probably been played live, yeah?
From the first record?
On this record.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Even Ice Cream Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I saw him, Dave did Ice Cream Man.
Okay. Yeah. On That's Fire like, is a really cool song too.
Yeah, that Ice Cream Man's was kind of like their break song. The rest of the band would go and Dave would like tell like a 9-minute story. He told a story about basically how, you know, being in your friend's basement or whatever, and you're rolling a joint on a record cover and the black light posters, not like all shit that he knows. All
David Lee Roth tells a story that's more David Lee Roth than David Lee Roth. Like, it's so David.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth.
And we're like, yeah, we've all done that. So like the crowd's going crazy. And then he finally gets down into it and he plays acoustic. And I mean, it's not terrible, his playing, but
yeah.
But then, you know, the breakdown in the band kicks in and then, you know, and that's an awesome song. On Fire is a fucking excellent closer.
Yeah, I was going to say that's an amazing album closer. Yeah. Like it goes down for me as one of the best.
Well, like, and because you've got On Fire, before that, you've got Ice Cream Man, which starts slow, but then really revs it up. And then before that, you've got Little Dreamer. So you're like, they slow it down.
It's a good pace.
And then progressive build it up.
Yeah. Yeah, the album's paced very well, too. And I don't know why, but in my head, as I'm listening to it, I just picture them just playing it from start to finish. And then, of course, you have to mention, like, we have to mention Eruption. Like, that, if it wasn't for Eruption, I think the guitar world would be different. Somebody would have done it, but, like, that, like Eddie says, he's like,
maybe
I never
somebody
claimed.
Like Nuno or something, like we were talking about before.
Yeah. Eddie has some clinic where he's like, it's on YouTube. He's like, I never said I invented two-handed tapping.
Is it like that? Is it the video where he's like, there's couches and he's standing up and there's like that blue background?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Okay, yeah, I've and he's it. Playing one of his. Yeah, yeah. God, this chair.
Squeaky.
But I mean, that, like, like, it's like you can almost go through that whole thing. Now when he plays Eruption live, does he play that, or does he also add a little flair to it?
It's a little pepped up. Like, he'll kind of get a little wacky in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then towards the end, he goes to, like, it sounds just like it sound. Well, I should say sounded. May you rest in peace. But it sounded just like the record. And you're just like, yeah, holy okay. fucking shit. Like, I'm seeing this, like, I'm breathing the same air as him. I'm not worthy.
I know. That's kind of crazy. Like, to be in the same. I know. I get that. Like,
we've done it with all of our heroes at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know when I see Metallica eventually, I'm going to be like, holy shit. Like, I wish I could have seen Van Halen. I just, you know,
yeah.
I think you appreciate things a little more when they're not, you know, they're not around anymore.
Don't know what you got till it's gone.
Dude, it's seriously though. Yeah. But I do want a 5150 amp. I really want one. I know it's everybody uses it. It's overused, but there's a reason for that because it's the shit, man. Like, it's great.
Well, and I mean, also, I mean, it's like you're paying tribute to, you know, arguably the best guitar player of all time. And I did know, I said, if he's not the best, he did something for guitar that nobody else ever did.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Yeah. There's no, you can't, if somebody wants to argue that, feel free, but you can lose that argument.
You know, I love Jimi Hendrix. That was probably... other than Kiss, Jimi Hendrix was what really got me into
he really got me into
rock music. And then, you know, I love Clapton. Clapton's fucking amazing.
Gotta love Clapton, yeah.
I'd love to see
that. That's one of his inspirations, Eddie Van Halen. Mm-hmm. He said it was Cream and something else was the first ones he discovered when he came to the States. And he was like, this is, you know, that's part of the reason he picked it up. But dude, I mean, you got all those guys you can lump into it, and you even throw in, you know, you can even throw in your 90s guys, like Cobain being a not, like, just knowing the sound of music. It's well documented that, like, he didn't know shit about theory, but he just knew, like, the sounds, like, what worked, you know?
Yeah, so and I mean, he wasn't like a fucking, like,
shredder or anything
a great guitar player, but I mean, for what he did in that band, sure, you know. And I mean, I've went on record several times of saying that, you know, Nirvana didn't it never really did anything for me. Like, I mean, I love Dave Grohl, I love Foo Fighters, but
speaking of, my coworker called me this morning and said he saw Dave Grohl in a Come and Go. They're playing tomorrow at the Amp, Foo Fighters.
He said he was
standing there next to him, and he was looking at him, and he didn't talk to him, but he was looking at him. He's like, why is he so familiar? And he ended up leaving in some decked out Expedition, and he's like, that's fucking Dave Grohl. And they have tickets to it tomorrow night.
Oh, nice.
So he called the guy at the Amp and was like, hey man, are they here? And he's like, yeah, they're already here. I guess there's like a secret hotel room that celebrities stay in. That's like, keeps you kind of private, but yeah. I was like, was he about 6 foot, long hair, had a goatee beard thing going on? He's like, yeah. And he said something about his hoodie or long sleeves was hiding the tattoos. I'm like, I'm pretty sure Dave Grohl doesn't have tattoos. I'm trying to remember.
He does either.
I don't think he does. But anyways, he's Dave Grohl, man. He's gonna do a whole episode on that guy. Like, he's one of those all around musicians. Yeah. And he's a great human being too.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Van Halen here, but yeah, I mean, we can give Eddie love all day long, and I can do a whole series of episodes on him, but yeah, dude, I mean, David Lee Roth, give him the love he deserves. Michael Anthony, killer bassist. I wrote underrated ? But I don't think he is. I think everybody knows of.
I mean,
Michael Anthony, or you should if you're a bassist, you know.
I think out of the original lineup, Michael Anthony is probably the most underrated. Because not only the bass, but the backing vocals, and I made note of that too.
Yeah.
Anybody who can tell me a better backing vocalist than Michael Anthony, bring that to the table too. Because that
this is just a bunch of challenges.
It's a fucking challenge. And if you want to challenge me, sign up patreon.com/heelsandquads.
Yeah, you can challenge us all day long at the end of the month hangout.
I mean, I don't I mean I'll scan through my notes again and see if there's anything else that I mean, the fucking harmonies on this album alone just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we hit most of them. One of them, Alex, I put Alex is awesome on drums as well. Perfect drum sections for every piece of music. Like I said, with him and Michael Anthony, like their pieces just fit perfectly in the pocket with the music. Like everything goes together. And then Eddie, of course, saying he's like, he puts his hands up. He's like, I did not say I invented two-handed tapping. However, I did, you know, do this. And he's like, you just, like, I have it quoted. You just move the nut. He's like, basically, yeah. You use your finger and you use that, and that's the nut. You yeah. use that, and anyway, so I do it. I still do it when I'm playing. I'll goof around yeah. and I use that. Shit. You know,
that's like air guitar. You see so many people play air guitar, especially if it's Van Halen. They're tapping.
They're tapping.
They know. I mean, even if they're not a musician, they know it's tapping. About Eruption, I did. You know, I said it kind of briefly, but I said this musical masterpiece is heavy metal Beethoven.
Yeah.
The
brown sound, as they call it.
What else?
We'll have to do it. I know Jimi Hendrix's name was mentioned. I want everybody to know there was no shade thrown at
No.
We could do a whole episode on that as well. We mentioned
Clapton.
Yeah.
Prince. I mean, nobody really knew how good of a guitar player was until he died. And then the fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame video went through the roof, which I was saying that while he was still alive. That video was amazing.
Yeah.
On Ain't Talking About Love, I put, this could debatably be my favorite Van Halen song, although Panama may have something to say about that, because Panama is, that song comes on, I'm fucking in, dude.
I think I'm with you on Ain't Talking About Love. That might
Ain't Talking About Love, though. The breakdown again. You know I've been to the edge.
And I like to look
down.
Yeah. A little quiet. Solo. Like, I love that. It's just perfectly fits in right there.
On I'm the One. On the One, Dave gets a lot of shit for his voice live, but man, on record, he is the party vocally. You can't see him, but you can visualize a great time. That's called being an entertainer, folks.
Yeah.
Had to note that.
DLR. Yeah, David Lee Roth. Hey, good day, man.
Atomic Punk, Jesus Christ, that opening, that... I noted how more squeals from Dave and Michael, because, like I said, he squealed too.
Squeal like Siggy.
And his lower register in the song is perfect.
Yeah. He fits in everywhere, man. His backing vocals are awesome.
Yeah.
They make it. It's those harmonies. And I guess I never realized, you know, until sitting down and listening to this and examining it, but there's a ton of vocal harmonies in Van Halen.
Oh, a ton, there's a dude. A
ton of them.
It's
part of their sound. It's like Alice in Chains.
Vocally, it's very pop.
Yes. Yeah.
But obviously, you know.
Basically, it's rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
very pop vocal.
Ice Cream Man, I note it goes from busking to in your face heavy party rock. And the last part of Ice Cream Man, the last line, I say it's a mix of Elvis and Louis Armstrong.
Elvis and Louis Armstrong. What else?
On Fire, when Dave squeals, on fire, you know.
Yeah.
And you can hear Michael's bass. You can hear him plucking it. It's that, man, something about that was really cool.
Yeah, there's quite a few parts where I can hear his bass,
like it's in thugs.
The yeah. And it's not even heavily like saturated with any kind of effects or drive or anything.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like a DI signal with a little bit of drive on it. And it's just like, it's just right. And there's some, I can't remember what song it was, man, but it just shines through his bass in a certain part where I'm just like, I just love that. And it's one of those things we talk about where it's like just a little, even if it's just him just do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it is. But I'm like, I love that there's space in
just
the
taking it for a walk.
Yeah, dude. You got to take the bass for a walk every now and then. They get tired. You got to walk them and wake them up. But
I actually think I like this format better, by the way.
I do too. Absolutely. This felt more fun.
It felt exciting.
We just bounced shit off of each other instead of like the song thing works fine, but it's, you know, it just gets a little boring after a while.
And now I've just got a new way of taking notes. I can take notes overall as opposed to just every single song I got to write something about.
That's part of the goal, you know?
So because then I start to feel bad because then I'm like we talked about, I start to feel repetitive. Yeah. And then I'm like, I could say something else about this song, but that word just fits so well with this song. So especially here, you know, noted harmony a lot, the bass, the swing drums, all that stuff. It just gets repetitive and I get tired of saying the same fucking word.
Yes. That's
especially when I have to go back through all these to find clips.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, how many times did I say that?
Something about when I have to sit and listen to each song and write down the notes of it, like by the end, and this goes, it's every episode. And I even say it. It's like by the end, I'm kind of starting to get bored.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm skimming through the songs.
It should be, it should be, these should be the way that album makes us feel.
Yes.
Not so much, you know, trying to note like little things.
Yes.
That we pick up. I mean, note those, but you know.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But I like this because if there's one little thing, I can be like, oh yeah. And on this song, I like that part, blah, blah, blah. This would be fun. This is
good. And we can, and you like, you know, you saying you're more, you know, into Van Halen, you know, the history and all that. So you ask me a question, then I can kind of fill in.
Yeah.
And then same with you. Like if it's something that you pick and I'm like, I don't know this, I don't know this album, but I'll do it, whatever.
I mean, and that'll be something I'll admit in here too. Like obviously I listened to Van Halen. I heard it growing up, my mother, and like, I know the songs and all that stuff, but I've never done a deep dive and listened to the whole discography. Like I said, I'm not super familiar with Van Hagar. But it's one of those things that like I was influenced by Eddie because anybody who plays music or listens to music is like, oh yeah, Van Halen. But
well, and I remember when he passed. I mean, I made like a tribute post of a picture, from when I saw him, and then you made one as well. So I mean, if we both take time out of our day to make a like a tribute post, you've influenced us in some way.
yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's been a couple of years now, but
It's wild. I was thinking about that the other day when I was listening to it. I was like, man, it seems like it just happened, but it's been a while.
It's one of those people you just, I don't know, some people you just see and you're like, oh, they're immortal, you know?
Yeah.
He's a guitar god, so he's just, now he is in charge of all the guitarists.
Well, and in that Nuno interview we were talking about, he was talking about when he was recording that new Extreme album and Eddie showed up to the house because Gary Cherone, who's the lead singer of Extreme, was the third Van Halen singer on the Van Halen 3 album that nobody really liked. But he came over. What?
What's his name? Gary.
Gary Cherone.
And he's on Van Halen 3.
Yeah. It came out in 98,
I think. Yeah. I saw the date earlier, but.
Yeah. And it's Gary Cherone from Extreme. And so he came over to hang out with them for a little bit because he wanted to hear what they were doing. And Nuno was recording that Rise solo. And he's like, well, I don't, like, he was just like, he didn't want to play it for Eddie, you know?
Yeah. He talks about that. He's like,
And I guess what, right before Eddie left, like he said, hey, just so you know, we're getting the original four back together. We're going out the way we came in. And then he died not too long after.
Yeah.
So there were plans at one point to have Michael back, and I would have done pretty much anything to be front row for that.
Yeah. What was it Nuno said too about Eddie messing with him? And he said,
none of that.
It
was something Nuno said in an interview for Guitar World or something.
And he had heard it and he's like, none of that bullshit or whatever. Yeah. And he was messing with him, but he like, it fucking freaked Nuno out or whatever.
He's a cool dude, man.
Yeah. Eddie
was a fun interview. Badass, man.
Yeah, it was. I didn't listen to all of it, but I watched a good portion of it.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? I think that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, we can take it home. We hit an hour, so we're good to go.
Yeah, we'll take her home, man. We did our time.
We can do more Van Halen.
Yeah, we can absolutely do more Van Halen.
And I do want to mention, I am going to, after I finish my Kiss series of ranking the studio albums, I am going to do Van Halen as well.
Okay, cool.
I want to do Van Halen. Probably going to do Bon Jovi at some point.
John Bovey.
Might do Motley Crue as well. But I want to try to, like, I don't want to do anything that we're going to do on here. Because then that kind of gives it away. Because like the Kiss stuff, like most people already know what my favorite Kiss album is. So,
yeah, yeah. And I was gonna do the same thing with Maiden,
which I'm looking forward to that. And I mean, I mentioned to Levi, I was like, hey, yesterday we were texting. I was like, hey, I think it would be cool if you did Maiden, kind of similar to what I'm doing with the Kiss stuff. So I don't know if you're gonna use that exact format, but
I think so. That's
kind of easy peasy, man.
Yeah, you just.
Plus, it's kind of fun doing voiceovers. I feel like I'm like on a cartoon or something.
Yeah, it is cool. What do you do? You record it on your computer and then just put the file over the picture or whatever. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was
on Mojave, which is the
Your software
edit. Mojave. Yeah, my software edit. I just kind of like guesstimate how long the voiceover is gonna be, which is typically like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, something like that. And then it has a voiceover mode, so I click that, and then it's just like. That way, the voiceover mode does a better job of like any background
canceling background noise. Yeah.
So like, if the cat comes in here,
you can
dogs like scratching out the door and all that shit. Yeah, it makes it a little easier to cut.
I listened to a couple of the lesser favorite Maiden albums today, just to see which one would be at the bottom of my list. And it's actually kind of hard to pick the bottom one because
that was hard for me.
There's two or three of them that I'm like, these are kind of interchangeable for me personally.
I did it based on basically how I feel right now.
Yeah. And that's tough because you can switch. But I know you've always mentioned that the solo one was one of your, that the Peter Criss one.
Oh,
was
yeah.
Peter Criss? Yeah. That was like the least best.
It's the least best, but it's not bad. Like it's just a different sound. It's not a Kiss. That's what
the main ones are to me. They're the least best. They're not.
And I made sure to make note on all of them. Like, hey, I like this. I don't like this. I do like this though. And you know, even say like, it's not a bad record. I just it has to fall somewhere, and this is where it lands.
Yeah.
And in 2 years, I could feel totally different about it because I can find something and be like, oh, maybe I'd like this a little better than. And I've kind of noticed that as I've went through them, I'm like, ooh, maybe this is higher.
Yeah. I think that's about it as far as covering Van Halen.
Yeah, I've actually got to work on because I'm trying to put one out every day, so I got to work on.
Yeah, do that
tonight. Yeah.
So after listening to this, if for whatever reason you've never heard Van Halen 1 in full, go for it. Listen to it. No matter what kind of music you like. I think it fits any style.
Yeah.
Plus you get to kind of hear the roots of like a lot of things. Could be your favorite artist, could be inspired by any of those guys. David Lee Roth being a front man, probably inspired a lot of people you wouldn't expect. The bass,
inspired
the
drums,
the guitar. So want
to be a singer, you know.
He's, you know. Alex, Michael, Eddie, David, like all of them are just that's Hall of Fame, like beyond Hall of Fame, you know. So
I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a room and said, look at all the fucking people here tonight. I say it when we're just here, it's just me and her, you know.
So anyways, I'm gonna pick it up on vinyl now, probably at some point.
Just take your mom's.
My mom's, yeah. I'll get my mom or whatever. But thanks, Oliver.
You can get the remastered vinyls at Walmart. They have a ton of them.
Okay.
Every Walmart has.
That's what
at least two copies of each.
Was the remaster? Yeah. Okay. The remaster. Well, and it's one of those that like you can press it forever. It's always gonna get bought.
Yeah, I think they're gonna start doing the Sammy Hagar ones now. You gotta check on your ribs, I think.
Yeah, that's just I mean, I'm brazing them, so it's like they can go.
What are you doing, brazing those ribs?
Well, I sear and then braise. Yeah. Thanks to all our patrons at patreon.com/heelsandquads. We got Eric the Great, Muda, Sweet Baby James, Dan, Tim, Lori, Amanda, Rob, Kenny, and Sal.
Yeah. Add your name to that list, patreon.com/heelsandquads. I think this week I'm going to do started Name That Tune last week. We did we did a ballad edition, which ended up it kind of progressed because it got pretty serious. They were really competitive. That's the word I'm looking for.
Got really competitive.
Eric won the first round, beat Derek 10-9 on that. So I think
Eric's
to
Tim. Pretty dictionary. He's very
dude.
Dictionary
there were some that he got. I was like, and because I do it at like different spots. So you might get an introduction. You might get a guitar solo.
You can do any part of the song.
Any spot.
Yeah.
And I only played 3 seconds. So I'm going to up it to 5. I'm going to do that. I think we're going to end up doing it Friday. Okay. So I'm going to do it Friday because baseball season for the kids ends Thursday. And then Amanda works all weekend. So I'm going to do it Friday before we do Riding the Pine.
All right. Yeah. On that note, yeah, sign up for Patreon. Be a part of all that. Patreon.com/HillsAndQuads. We got ProWrestlingTees.com/HillsAndQuads. Pick up some of the merch there. Collar and Elbow brand. Coupon code HillsAndQuads, 10%. Mm-hmm. Go Green Hemp. Same coupon code, Heels and Quads, 15%.
If you've made it this far, chances are you're a subscriber. But if you're not, subscribe.
Subscribe, like, helps the algorithm, bell, all
comment,
that stuff.
Dude, comment, yeah. Likes, comment, all that like, helps the algorithm. Yeah.
Yep.
And if a video gains subscribers, I've noticed, it also helps get that in the algorithm.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Any kind of interactions with the video helps.
We love it. And I love to, I read everything. I see everything. I'm constantly checking numbers. It's sickening how much I check, honestly, but
yeah,
I've gotten back into that.
It's so convenient that somebody asked me about it the other day.
Yeah. I just sent it to you.
You had sent it to me right after he asked. I go, oh, and conveniently, here's our listeners.
I think we had hit like 202 subscribers or something.
Yeah,
and
something
then
like that.
Got another 10 since then. So that's awesome.
And the listens, the view time, all that good stuff is way up. So let's keep the ball rolling, everybody.
Yeah.
Let's keep it rolling. But until then, until next time, tell your friends.
Tell your enemies.
I thought I was going
are you
somewhere
queuing
else.
Me to say it?
No, I wasn't sure what was happening. But yeah, tell your friends.
Tell your enemies and Levi, get with me what you want to do next because it's your turn.
Sounds good. I will do that.
All right. We'll love you.
See you all later.
Patreon.com/HillsAndQuads.